The epistle appointed to be read for the first Sunday of Advent is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 13. Brethren, knowing the time that it is now the hour for us to rise from sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is past and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and impurities, not in contention and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Gospel. Let's take it from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 21. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. And upon the earth distress of nations by reason of the confusion of the roaring of the sea and of the waves, men withering away for fear and expectation of what shall come upon the whole world. For the powers of heaven shall be moved, and then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and majesty. But when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is at hand." And he spoke to them a similitude. "See the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth their fruit, you know that summer is nigh. So you also, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen, I say to you, this generation shall not pass away till all things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. Brethren, knowing that it is now the hour for us to rise from sleep. These words are taken from the epistle for today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This morning, my dear friends, I would like to tell you a rather touching story about a 4 or 5-year-old boy and the nativity scene beneath his Christmas tree. About a week or so before Christmas, the child went with his parents to a Christmas tree farm. And there they picked out a tree. They bought the tree, they brought it home, and they set it up in the tree stand. Over the course of the next week, the boy's mother decorated the tree with lights. The little boy helped by hanging ornaments and tinsel upon the branches. After the tree was decorated, the mother pulled out the nativity scene box and began setting up the little figurines beneath the tree with her son. First, they set up the stable. Then they began placing the figurines in and around the stable. The figures of Our Lady and Saint Joseph, the shepherds and the sheep, the donkey and the ox, as well as a number of angels. Finally, the mother gave her little boy the crib and told him to place it between Our Lady and Saint Joseph. Now, as he carefully did this, something struck him. Seeing the empty wooden manger, a puzzling question came to his mind. "Mom," he said, "are we going to put the baby Jesus into that crib on Christmas?" "Yes," the mother said, "we are." Hearing this, the boy looked more puzzled than before. "But Mom," he said in all innocence, "Jesus is God. We can't put him in a hard wooden crib. He should have a nice warm crib when he comes." Smiling at the sincerity of her child, the mother then explained as simply as possible that our Lord wanted to be born in a stable and laid in a manger. But the boy still could not understand. He had heard the story of the first Christmas, but in his simplicity, he could just not understand why God should be laid in a hard wooden manger. Now, later that day, the boy's mother went to do some sewing. but when she looked for her pincushion, it was gone. She looked in all of her sewing supplies, but the cushion was nowhere to be found. She did not know where she put it. The next morning, however, she found the answer to her question. For when she went to water the Christmas tree, there in the manger, she saw not only her pincushion serving as a pillow, but also a small red cloth for a blanket. The mother could not help but smile. She smiled seeing the manifestation of the love and consideration of her little boy for our divine Savior. For he had gone out of his way to prepare what he thought was a comfortable, suitable place for the Christ child to rest on Christmas. Today, my dear friends, we begin the holy season of Advent. Advent comes from the Latin adventus, which means the coming. Over the course of the next 4 weeks, then, the church directs our thoughts to the coming of Christ. In fact, the 4 weeks of Advent correspond to the 4,000 years that the world waited and prepared for the birth of our divine Savior. But during the season of Advent, Holy Mother Church would also remind us that there is another coming of Christ for which we must prepare. And that coming is His second coming at the end of the world, when, as we read in the Gospel, the Son of Man shall come in a cloud with great power and majesty. That is why the Church places this Gospel on the first Sunday of Advent, to remind us that just as Christ came to earth on the first Christmas, so he will come again. And that we must be prepared. But it is particularly to his first coming that we turn our thoughts at this time of the year. Our thoughts should be of Bethlehem, of Mary and Joseph, and of the Christ child. Our thoughts should be of preparing to celebrate Christmas. But all too often, we have to make ourselves think of the divine Savior, his blessed mother, and his foster father. We have to make a conscientious effort to think of him whose birth is the very reason we celebrate Christmas. And the reason why we have to force ourselves, as it were, to think of him is because we are surrounded on all sides by the mere holiday celebrated by the world. The world makes the shopping and decorating, the music and baking, and so on, the focal point of Christmas. And with the influence of these things all around us, it is so easy to become enveloped in them, consumed with them to the point that we think only of these material possessions. Preparations, rather than the spiritual preparation of turning our thoughts to the birth of Christ. Now, there is absolutely nothing wrong with these things. In fact, Christmas shopping and decorating, music and baking contribute remarkably to the joy of the season. But we must be ever mindful that they are not the reason for Christmas. My dear friends, it is indeed sad to say, but nonetheless true at times, that the people of the world prepare far better to celebrate the holiday than Catholics prepare to celebrate Christ's birth. And thus our divine Savior spoke truly when he said, "The children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light." What our Lord means by this is that people of the world are far more shrewd, zealous, and diligent in worldly pursuits than the faithful are in their spiritual ones. There is no store too far, no line too long, no hour too early or too late for someone who is determined to get the gift he wants. And how many stores begin preparing for Christmas many months in advance? Sure, they do these things for worldly motives, but moved by money and material gain, they do prepare for Christmas. While at times Catholics, moved by the love of God, forget to prepare. As we begin another Advent, my dear friends, take these things to heart. Remember that Christmas celebrates the birth of our divine Savior, the one and only Savior of the world. After the fall of Adam, man was lost with no one to save him. The gates of heaven were closed with no one to open them. And the gates of hell were opened wide with no one to close them. Thus, moved by his infinite love for us, the Almighty and Eternal Son of God became a helpless infant so that he might close the gates of hell, open the gates of heaven, and atone for our sins, all the while seeking to win our hearts and our love. But sad to say, he is turned away by the majority of men, just as he was turned away from the homes and from the inn on that first Christmas night. Year upon year for centuries, he has knocked on the doors of men's hearts, only to hear, for the most part, those same three words. Sorry, no room. Sorry, no room, for I have many other things that occupy my heart. Sorry, no room, for I will not break my attachment to sin. Sorry, no room, for I just do not care about you or your religion. How sad for our divine Savior. How sad for him who gave everything in the hope that he would be welcomed, in the hope that he would be loved. Over the course of the next 4 weeks, then, prepare your heart for Christ as you prepare your home for Christmas. The little boy had it right. Like him, we should be willing to go out of our way to prepare a suitable, comfortable place for Christ at Christmas, a place in our hearts that is worthy of him. For as a certain priest writes, on Christmas Day, we actually relive the first Christmas at Bethlehem. Christ is, in a certain sense, born upon the altar in the hands of the priest, he says, who, like the Virgin Mary, will lay him in the crib of your heart in Holy Communion. But all too often our hearts are, as it were, like the hard wooden manger beneath the tree. They have become cold and, in a certain sense, hardened by our sins, our faults, and our failure to practice virtue. We must strive then to make them warm and comfortable just as the boy made the wooden crib cozy. For as that young boy said to his mother, in all innocence, yet in all truth, Jesus is God, and we can't put him in a hard wooden crib. To give him instead a warm crib, make a resolution this Advent, my dear friends, a resolution to overcome a certain sin or fault, or a resolution to practice a particular virtue better, a resolution that will help you prepare for Christmas. As St. Paul says in today's epistle, it is now the hour. The time to prepare is now. Resolve then to avoid mortal sin and its occasions. If you have harbored anger and revenge in your hearts, now is the hour to learn the virtues of the Sacred Heart and to ask Him to help you to be charitable, meek, and forgiving. If you have given in to impatience, now is the hour to work diligently on overcoming it. If you have neglected confession, or if you have made bad confessions in the past, now is the hour to get everything straightened out. Now is the time to make peace with God. If you have been lax in the practice of your faith, now is the hour to renew your fervor and devotion. Whatever it is that is keeping you from God, whatever it is that makes your heart like a hard wooden manger, that is what you must resolve to change this Advent. That is what you must make a specific and practical resolution to fix. For if you make a resolution and you stick with it, even if you fail at times, you can be sure that you are preparing a worthy place in your heart for the Son of God, even as you are preparing yourself to meet Him at His second coming. Keep these things in mind, my dear friends, and persevere in your resolution. Remember that the entire Advent season revolves around the infant Savior and His love for us. Go to the Blessed Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph and ask them to help you to prepare for the birth of our Lord, just as they prepared for Him. So that when He knocks at the door of your heart on Christmas night, you can say to Him, come in, sweet Jesus. My heart is your home, and I have endeavored to make it as comfortable as possible for you. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.